praising of our God this morning. Amen. I appreciate the choir, their efforts, and their availability to God. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 1. God's word is just so wonderful. And the reason that it's so wonderful is because it was inspired by the Holy Ghost, and he moved upon holy men, surrendered men, dedicated men, saved men, to write it down so you and I could have it 2,000 years later. Praise God. Think about that. God's word is like 2,000 years old. Some of it's even older than that. Some of it's like 4,000, 6,000 years old. But it has been preserved by God for 6,000 years just so you and I could read it and have salvation. Praise our God. That's God. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 1. Going all the way down to verse number 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. You can be seated again this morning. I want to preach just a simple title here this morning, Proclaimed. Proclaimed. Now, Paul was writing to the Romans. Paul was an apostle. He tells us who he is. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. And he was separated out in that call to the gospel of God, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And his finished work for the salvation of all men, whether they be Jew or Gentile. No matter who they are, Jesus Christ died that men could have new life. Men could have forgiveness of their sins and began new life in Jesus Christ. And he declares who Jesus was. He was born after the seed of David according to the flesh, which gives him right to the heir of the throne of David. According to the flesh. According to humanity. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Because he wasn't born of the seed of man, but he was born of the Spirit of God. His throne and his heir to David was through Mary. His heir to heaven was God. And here we find, and it was declared that he was the Son of God with power. And that power that was revealed was the resurrection from the dead. Now, I mentioned to you just a few moments ago of how the disciples didn't get a hold of what Jesus was telling them. But I'm going to share some things with you. There were other people that got a hold of it. Their actions showed that they heard what he said. Their deeds showed that they heard what he said. They didn't believe on him, but they heard what he was talking about. And so we see here then that power of the resurrection was the final show that he was the Son of God. You see, there were several things that were proclaimed. Now, the disciples, after they saw him risen, they began to preach the gospel. After they were filled with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, they began to preach the gospel. Paul, he even got saved about 2 or 3 years later and began to preach the gospel. But that day of that trial, that day of that death on the cross, there were some things that were proclaimed by people that were not followers of Jesus Christ. Yet their actions and their deeds proclaimed who he was. First one I want to read about is John chapter 19, verse number 19. And we're going to read about Pilate. Pilate was the judge that day. Pilate was the man that ordered his crucifixion. Pilate was the man that was under the pressure from the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, and then all the people on top of it screaming out, crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Yet Pilate could find no fault in this man Jesus. Yet the pressure was on. He was not a follower of Jesus. Jesus shared some things with him that troubled him, but he never turned to follow Jesus. But he realized this man has done no wrong. And so we find he's been crucified, or he's on his way to crucifixion. And Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Here's Pilate making a proclamation in the known languages of that day so everyone could read it that was present. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Praise God. Now, if you go back with me a little ways till Christmas time, you find that there were wise men that came from the east, long journey, and they were looking for who? The King of the Jews. Because they had seen his star in the east, and they were coming to worship him. And here Jesus is dying on the cross, and Pilate, a non-believer, puts on top of that cross, because it was the rule of that day, whoever the people were they were crucifying and whatever offense they had done was put on that plaque on top of that cross. And of course Pilate found no fault in this man, but under the pressure of the people and the pressure of Rome, he crucifies an innocent man. But in his last effort, he declares, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The proclamation of truth. The proclamation of who this man really was. He was the King of the Jews. He was not fulfilling what everybody had in their mind that the King of the Jews would do, because they didn't understand that his kingdom wasn't of this world. Hallelujah. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. Praise God. But Pilate proclaimed the truth that needed proclaimed in amongst the unbelief, the doubt, the fear, and all the anger of the people towards this man. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. That's who this man is. That's why I put it there. He proclaimed him as king. Hallelujah. Now we move on. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that which were done, or that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now we find a proclamation, he was the Son of God. Now, I don't know if you can fathom this or not. Noontime. Bright sunny day. Brother Charles, hit that main switch right there. Darkness came over the land at noon when it was totally bright before that. Wow. You think that gets somebody's attention? Turn them back on, brother. Some folks may be scared of the dark. Noon, 12 o'clock, the sky goes dark. This centurion is the one that is overseeing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Of the two malefactors beside him, he's been watching everything that's been going on. And all of a sudden, it's dark at noon. Then it was dark not only for just a few minutes like we did. It was dark from noon till 3 o'clock. For 3 hours, there was darkness on the land. In the midst of that 3 hours, we find the thieves begin to rail him. Then one thief repents and receives the hope, today you will be with me in paradise. We find Jesus from the cross making provision for his mother, Mary. For Mary was there. The disciple John was there. And when Jesus looked from the cross and saw Mary and John, he told John, I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, take care of Mary. Wow. Here's a man hanging on a cross in great agony and pain. He's saving souls, and he's taking care of his mom. And he's taking care of you and me. And at 3 o'clock, all scriptures had been fulfilled that had been written by the prophets thousands of years ago. All the scriptures had come to pass. And he spoke these final words, it is finished. This centurion has seen all of this. The earth shakes. The centurion didn't know that in the midst of that earthquake, that veil rent in the temple from the top to the bottom. And it wasn't just a sheet. It was a very thick veil made out of animal skins. Now, anybody that's done any tanning of some skins knows you don't just grab a skin and rip it. And it was multiple layers, and the whole thing just ripped right from the top to the bottom. Praise our God. The centurion didn't know that had happened. The disciples didn't know that had happened till later. But then they knew why it had happened, signifying the way was made through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For man to have forgiveness of his sins, not just pushed back, not just covered by bloods of animals, but washed away. The final sacrifice. And as this centurion surveyed everything that was going on, the man that crucified Jesus proclaimed, this man was the Son of God. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, we weren't there that day, so we didn't get to see it or experience it. But it's been preserved in God's Word so we can hear it. So we can do something with it. The opportunity is at hand. Do you believe He's the King? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Now then, in Matthew chapter 27, a little further down, verse 62, it says, now the next day, Jesus has already been in the tomb now one day, one evening. The next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Oh, it's amazing what people remember, isn't it? Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The enemies of Jesus proclaimed he was a prophet by what they said to Pilate. They called him a deceiver, but in reality they were so afraid that he was that prophet. They had seen the miracles, but it was not going according to what their religious ceremonies and their religious ways and their religious power was wanting. And so they rejected Jesus as that prophet. When I say that prophet, I'm talking about the prophecy about another prophet, even in the days of Moses, another prophet will I raise up unto thee like unto Moses. Thousands of years before. And so these unbelievers and these enemies of Jesus proclaimed he was a prophet because he had said, in 3 days I will rise again. And they heard it. They didn't believe it. Or did they? If they didn't believe it, why did they want to secure the stone? They didn't believe it. Why did they want to already begin to prefab the story? His disciples will come steal the body. It's because deep down inside they knew he was that prophet. And they knew he was going to rise the third day. But they did not want to accept that. But yet in their actions, in their words, in their deeds, they proclaimed him as that prophet. I'm just going to interject this in here just for the fun of it. There's some folks that claim to be atheist, and their whole determination is in life is to prove there is no God. Their actions tell me they believe in God. Because if there is no God, why are you trying to prove to everybody there ain't one? What difference does it make? What it is an atheist is an individual who has rejected God, and he wants to get as many on board with him as he can because he don't want to feel like the Lone Ranger. Because in his heart, he knows there's a God. Just like these Pharisees, these Sadducees, even the creator of evolution knew there was a God. He was just mad at God at that time, and so he wanted to create something to defy God and prove there wasn't a God. Once again, if you're trying to prove there's not a God, that means you know there is one. And so we see, we know God's real. We know Jesus is the King of the Jews. We know he is the Son of God. We know he is that prophet. In Matthew 28, verse number 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and another Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now you can't convince me that those men that were keeping watch over that sepulcher didn't believe God was real. You ever seen a picture or maybe even a cartoon of that individual get so scared they just can't move? Well, this was reality that day. They were so scared they became as dead men. They could not move a muscle for fear. Because an angel came down, rolled that stone away. I personally don't think he just went. I think he just went and threw it away. And he didn't open that tomb so Jesus could come out. He opened that tomb so the women could see he had risen. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away to come out in his glorified state, as you will read later in the scriptures, because he would come, appear to his disciples, and then just be gone in that glorified body, that resurrected body, that first fruits body. And so we see then it was proclaimed by angels, it was proclaimed by disciples, and you can rest assured it was proclaimed by the keepers of that tomb. He's alive again. He's resurrected. He's no longer in the grave. I don't know if you can imagine the pandemonium that began to set in Jerusalem because there is a missing body. Whoa. You know the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Pilate and his leaders automatically began to search for that body, because the story that was given by the religious leaders that the disciples came and took the body away. But that doesn't explain the angel, the stone gone, and no body to be found. I believe there was probably some soldiers that got saved and believed. I believe there was probably Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. They believed. The disciples, eventually, they believed. These ladies, they believed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now we have it proclaimed by Pilate that he was king. We've got it proclaimed by the centurion that he's the Son of God. We got it proclaimed by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious leaders that he was that prophet. Now we got it proclaimed by angels, soldiers, and Mary and Mary. He's alive again. And I want to kind of stop right there, because I could go on and on and on, because he was seen of more than 500 at one time. Alive. And they all watched him ascend into heaven. And they all heard the angels speak to them as two angels showed up. As they were looking up into the sky and seeing Jesus was gone, said, "Why are you standing here gazing up? Go. Do what he told you to do." What did he tell them to do? He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. What was he talking about? Well, he was talking about what he'd already been trying to tell them about. You notice how Jesus tried to tell them everything that was going to happen. They just had their own preconceived ideas. We could just get rid of preconceived ideas. We could really have great experiences with God and learn great things about God if we could just get rid of preconceived ideas. He had told them about the Comforter that was going to come, the Spirit of Truth. He was not only going to be with you, he was going to be in you. Long story short, they went to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, and they moved out into the streets, and they began to worship God, praise God, talk about the wonderful works of God. You know, when the Bible says they're talking about the wonderful works of God, you know what they were talking about? They were talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how that God had prophesied many thousands of years ago that the Messiah would come, and the Savior of the world would come upon the scene, and they begin to magnify God because God kept His Word. Hallelujah. And they were rejoicing in God, speaking in tongues, and everyone that was around heard them speak the wonderful things of God in their own language. And 3,000 souls believed He was the Son of God, believed He was King of the Jews, believed that He was that prophet, believed that He rose from the dead on that third day. Praise God. And 3,000 were added to the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. This is just part of the sermon Peter preached that day of Pentecost. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden. He should be holden of it. He was not going to see corruption. The psalmist David talked about that in the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ Himself knew what was going to transpire. But yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was asking if this cup could pass from Me. But if not, Thy will be done. He wasn't looking forward to the pain, the shame, the anguish, the hurt. He just wasn't looking forward to all that. He was human like you and me. Would you be looking forward to it? But He knew it had to be done. He knew that's why He had come into this world. So that He could die on that old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Go to that tomb, that borrowed tomb, because that's what Scripture said. It was going to be a borrowed tomb. And lay there for 3 days, and then be resurrected. He knew that. Still yet, that was a lot of pressure on His human side. But that spirit of holiness rose up in Him. Not my will. Thy will be done. And willingly, as a sheep led to slaughter, He went to that mock trial, those false accusations, and that death of crucifixion. The thing about His crucifixion, crucifixions could last up to 2 or 3 days. Jesus was only on the cross for possibly 6 hours before He gave up the ghost. That's why they broke the legs of the other two crucified, so that they would die immediately, because death by crucifixion is not only painful, but it's suffocation. When your body starts hanging down, you can't breathe. So you have to push yourself back up to breathe. And of course, your back's rubbing on the cross. Your feet are nailed to the cross. Your hands are nailed to the cross. And it's excruciating pain to push up and breathe. And if you get the picture, it's not a pretty sight. And they were astonished that He was already dead. If you will, that's just the grace of God. He had to go to the cross. He had to die. And He had to fulfill it, but it doesn't mean it had to last for 2 or 3 days. When He had fulfilled all Scripture, He said, "It is finished," and He gave up the ghost. Woo. Praise God. So a procedure that could take up to 2 or 3 days happened in 6 hours, and it was finished. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that you and I could have salvation through that finished work of Calvary. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The first Adam brought sin into the world. The second Adam brought life into the world. That's why we're all born under sin until we become born again by the Spirit of God and begin to be living in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't have time this morning to expound upon the reality Adam was created by God. And this is why people don't want to believe in creation, because then we're accountable to the Creator. Adam was created by God out of the dust of the earth. So when we get to thinking so highly of ourselves, we just need to realize we ain't nothing but dirt. He created us out of the dirt. And the only difference was when he breathed life into that dirt. And man became a living soul. But Adam brought sin into the world, and every man fell underneath that sin from Adam all the way till now. Oh, back up a couple thousand years, but Jesus Christ came into this world to set men free from that curse, to set men free from that sin of Adam and bring new life, hallelujah, that was from that point all the way to right now. There's life, and it is only found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want to let you know, it's new life. It's not like the life before. It's a new life. It's a new life in Christ. It's a new life in joy. It's a new life in peace. It's a new life in happiness. It's a new life. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. Past sins are gone. They're washed away. They're under the blood, never more to be remembered. So forget them. Hallelujah. God has. And so go forward in Jesus Christ in the newness of life, and you won't have to worry about the past, because you got so much going on in the now with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Too many times people can't let go of the past, and thus they're missing out on the present and the future God has for them. I want to encourage you here this morning, let go of the past. Quit blaming the past and lay hold of new life that Jesus Christ has paid for. Hallelujah. And it has been accepted and been shown by his resurrection that it's been accepted. And that same power that he came out of that tomb is the same power God wants to put inside of you. Hallelujah. Sounds like a win-win situation to me. Where could I go wrong? Hallelujah. If the power that resurrected Jesus Christ can come and abide in me, hallelujah, and help me live this newness of life. Glory, glory, glory. It's been proclaimed. Could I have a piano player? It's been proclaimed. Hallelujah. It's been proclaimed by Paul. It's been proclaimed by Pilate. It's been proclaimed by the centurion. It's been proclaimed by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's been proclaimed by angels and the disciples and the soldiers. And it's been proclaimed by me. Praise God. It has been proclaimed. So now what are you going to do with the proclamation? What are you going to do with this man named Jesus? What are you going to do with this great salvation that has been provided for all men? What are you going to do with your past? Are you going to let it ride you all the way to the grave? Or are you going to shuck it for a walk with Jesus? That newness of life. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So many times, people can't believe that it would be that good, that it would be that great, or that God would do it for me. Sister Lindsay's already made mention of it. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He was doing it for you personally. Because God knows the beginning from the end. And that salvation was for all. As far as time would prevail, before Jesus Christ comes to judge this earth. Salvation is today. Salvation is free. Salvation just requires humiliation and surrender to who this man Jesus is. Just the simple acknowledging in the heart and in the mind, He's the Son of God, and He died for my sins. And I want that. And I want that. Glory. Praise our God. Could we stand together here this morning? Hallelujah to the Lamb. So I was in a terrible strait. And I've shared this multitudes of times. But I was in a terrible strait because I knew He was real. I knew He was Jesus. I knew He was the Son of God. I knew He had died. I knew He had rose from the dead. But I'd never come to that place where I humbled my heart and acknowledged who He was for me. So when I went to that altar of prayer, I didn't know what I needed to do because I never doubted God was real. I never doubted Jesus was real. I never doubted He was the Savior of the world. I just hadn't made that spiritual transaction that brought Him into my heart and into my life. And when I went to that altar, my prayer was really kind of corny, kind of strange, because I just didn't know, Brother Jason. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what You're trying to tell me. I know You're trying to tell me something. I know You're trying to do something. And here were the words that changed my life. And these are words that can change your life too. But Lord, whatever it is, I want it. And at that moment of time, my sin flew before my eyes. That newness of life swept over my soul. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't a story that I heard in Sunday school. My Redeemer was living in me. My Redeemer was alive and well. And I knew He was my Savior. I knew that He was my God. And that life came in. That joy, that peace. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling it just like I did then. Hallelujah. Because it's the greatest time that ever happened in my life when Jesus Christ came in. I wasn't good enough. My righteousness was as filthy rags and I couldn't see it. And when He showed it to me, I wanted loose from it. Hallelujah. And He loosed me from the past and started me fresh and anew in a walk with Him. And I loved it every moment of the day for the last 37 years. Hallelujah. There's no greater thing in my life than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I love my wife. I thank God for my wife. I love my siblings. I love my siblings-in-laws. I love the church. I love people. But there's no greater love in my life than that man Jesus, who died for my sins, and He changed my life and turned it around. Hallelujah. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Give Him thanksgiving. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for the greatest gift that He's brought to mankind, the forgiveness of sins, the salvation through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to our God. Hallelujah to our God. Glory, honor, and praise be given unto the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The giver of life, giver of salvation, the deliverer from the past. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Just write some new pages today, God. Start out, Lord. Write some names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Starting a new story, Lord God, for individuals this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The past is gone. Now there's newness of life. Great things to learn. Great things to encounter. Great things to accomplish. Hallelujah. And the joy. The joy
being filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Christ's kingdom abiding within.
And thought of me above all. And alone, and like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.